Hey, I'm Savannah.
And I'm Adi, and we're the Pulidos.
We're here talking about simplifying our life, growing and loving our family, and learning about the world.
And today we're talking about the five most common phrases we hear as foster parents.
So, all right, everybody, we're back, and we are fort-free again this week, but hopefully we'll be able to be a little more serious.
Yeah, yeah, I know you hijacked my critter corner.
I hijacked the whole episode.
You did, actually. Yeah, you're like, you know what? Let's turn this five-minute
conversation
yeah. and turn it into a whole episode. And yeah. You did. So
this is the episode that we were going to record last week.
Yes.
So you're hearing it a week late, but it's good because we did an episode about foster care the first week of Foster Care Awareness Month and then now the last week.
Literally, I think today is the last day of the month.
Actually, no. Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. So, yeah, here we are. And there's a lot of catch-up. So, you want to go first? Should I go first?
Well.
Okay. Let's just talk about what happened today.
Okay.
Okay.
So, today.
What happened today?
A few months ago. Let me take you back. So, a few months ago.
4 months
ago, Adi actually found this account on Instagram that is called it's called Rain or Shine Project. Mm-hmm. And it is run by a girl named Rain.
Yes.
And she is a former foster youth who is now working to help and advocate for children in foster care, specifically by helping to provide backpacks and bags and like luggage type things. And then also like hygiene, personal hygiene things, and just, you know, things that children need who are in foster care. Because a lot of times when children are removed from their homes, sometimes there's no time to like even bring any of their possessions with them.
Yeah.
And then a lot of times if they do bring their things with them, it just gets thrown into like a garbage bag.
Right.
Which is really just, you know, sad and just makes a hard situation worse.
Yeah.
So she's really passionate about helping to donate items to children in foster care to avoid those situations from happening. Mm-hmm. So anyway, we love what she's doing. And also, I think it's really awesome to hear from foster youth and former foster youth because we can only share from our perspective as foster parents, but we don't have any idea what it's like to be in their shoes.
Right. Yeah, so I was very stoked to have found her page, and I guess that she started to talk about foster stuff and being a foster child around that time I like found her. Mm-hmm. And so that about 4 months ago, I think that she officially started this project.
Yeah.
And started to get a lot of donations from different people, different organizations wanting to partner with her. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty cool. We love that. And it was pretty amazing to, like you said, to find an adult like foster child. Mm-hmm. And to kind of put a face on this idea that I was thinking about like several months ago about like our oldest and the other kiddos that we had, just thinking about like what's going to happen once they're like 18 and, you know, just older and they're adults. Like, are they going to look back at this like foster care experience with like, you know, bad memories, happy memories with us or whatnot. But then to kind of find Rain and kind of put this like image and mm-hmm. face on this like idea that I had, it's pretty cool because there's not a lot of people who talk about their experience, you know?
Yeah. And Rain was even sharing that she's had a hard time finding other former foster youth who are, you know, wanting to talk about their story. And obviously that's fine. Like,
right.
You know, they don't owe their story to anybody. They don't.
Yeah. So, yeah. So we were following each other on Instagram and everything. And then about like a couple months ago, she reached out to us saying, hey, do you guys want to do a Instagram live video? And I was like, oh, that's pretty awesome, actually, mm-hmm. because I kind of thought about partnering with her and doing something. And so there, you know, she reached out to us and we finally got to do to do the video today.
Yeah.
In live chat, and it was about an hour and did not feel like an hour.
Yeah.
It was very fun. It was great. She sent out a list of questions like a couple months ago, and we talked about our answers and everything before the interview, and it was pretty cool. Like I think it was pretty great, and we got to know a little bit of her experience and her thoughts about certain things, and it was pretty great. So I want to share a couple of questions that we talked about during the Instagram Lives video. Let's see. So one question was, is there anything you wish you could change about the system, the mm-hmm. foster care system?
Yeah.
I thought that was an excellent question. Another question is, are there ever times that you have to accept that the child is going back to the relative's home where you suspect they are being mistreated?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And another question is, what is the best part about fostering? So yeah, there was a lot of good questions.
Yeah.
And good conversations.
Yeah, it was really good. It was really fun. And I think, obviously, she was asking us these questions, but it was also really cool to hear a little bit from her and just her kind of the perspective of, you know, a former foster youth in some of the things that we were talking about.
Yeah.
So that was really cool. And yeah, so definitely go follow her page. So at Rain or Shine Project. And if you want to listen to and or watch that little conversation we had, that is actually saved in her IGTV.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's an hour long. It was great. And we will share that link on our show notes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, if you're listening to the podcast, just click on the summary section and you just see the link there.
Yeah.
Just copy paste that or whatever and watch that. Have fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, so I want to do the second official Crater Talk.
Oh boy, okay.
Discussion. This is what I wanted to talk about last week before I was interrupted.
Wow, okay.
Okay, so Crater Talk is pretty much about, we're talking about critters. And yes. That could be big or small, fake or real, whatever.
Whoa, okay.
So I want to kind of get your thoughts about this.
Okay.
So right now, if you are following the food news and the war of the chicken sandwich, then you probably know what I'm talking about. So if you're familiar with this, if you're not, let me explain. It has to do with how successful Chick-fil-A has been just demolishing this chicken war. For many years, it has succeeded with like their original chicken sandwich meal. And,
yeah.
And that sandwich has been delicious and people gravitate towards you know, Chick-fil-A when they think about like wanting a good chicken sandwich, right?
Yeah.
And I don't know why my mouth is watery right now, but I know you're a big fan of Chick-fil-A.
I am, yeah.
And so there's competition, right? So McDonald's.
Well, it started with Popeyes.
It started with Popeyes.
Was the big one.
A couple years ago or something like that. They released their chicken sandwich
mm-hmm.
to compete with Chick-fil-A sandwiches.
Yeah.
And then from there.
And a lot of people were saying like, oh, Popeyes is better.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it was this whole chicken sandwich war.
And then from there, escalated to McDonald's jumping in mm-hmm. and introducing their chicken sandwich.
And I feel like that wasn't too long ago.
No, it was a couple of months ago, I think.
Yeah, and I tried it, and I could not believe how similar it was to Chick-fil-A's. Like, exactly
really?
The same. I mean, taste-wise, a little different, but, like, when I was looking at it and everything, I was like, oh, my gosh, this is, like, a blatant copycat of Chick-fil-A.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. And then I believe Burger King also jumped in.
Really?
I think so. Yeah, yeah. Because we were we went recently to get some burgers from there.
Oh, yeah.
And I think we saw this. They're hand-breaded or whatever.
No, I think that was Carl's Jr.
Then Carl's Jr. So this was this past Monday.
Yeah.
They announced their big surprise, and it, guess what? It was a chicken sandwich.
And you totally called it.
And I called it. Yeah, I got an email from Carl's Jr. saying, hey, we're going to be releasing. I'm on their like,
email list. On their email list, yeah.
To get offers and stuff. And so
you don't even like Carl's Jr. that much.
Well, it's just because it's around the corner.
I know.
Anyway, they were saying, oh, here's a silhouette of like some surprise we're going to release on Monday.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, that looks like a chicken sandwich. And it was. And I'm like, wow. You know, the big difference, I guess, the little difference is that the pickles are not on top, they're at the bottom.
Yeah. So I'm a big fan of Chick-fil-A, like you said.
Yeah. Well, hold on.
Okay, go ahead.
There's one more competitor jumping in. Yeah.
What, Taco Bell?
Yes.
What?
Yes.
Are you serious? I'm not right kidding. Now? That's too far. I think a
brand new thing.
Okay. That's too far.
So this is the only the last competitor, I think.
Okay.
That's fighting.
Well, we didn't talk about KFC because they're like the original kind of before Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, and KFC had it. Yeah. And I'm not sure if they released it or something.
So I don't think they did it as like a response to Chick-fil-A like the other ones did. But anyway, go ahead.
So when I was watching the NBA game a couple of days ago, there was a commercial for Taco Bell, and I first thought it was for Carl's Jr. because there's these guys, they're debating like the order of the chicken sandwich. Like, okay, it's bread first, pickles, chicken, and then the bread.
Oh my gosh.
And other people are saying, no, it's the bread, chicken, pickles, and then the bun.
Oh my gosh.
And I was like, oh, that has to be Carl's Jr. because the pickles are at the bottom.
On the bottom, yeah.
And then it pans to this other person. Right. And two people, and they're eating a Taco Bell food, and that's they have then a big like text and stuff. It says like, try our new naked chicken chalupa, and they're pretty much saying like, this is better than a sick chicken sandwich.
Okay, so it's not an actual chicken sandwich.
No, but that's okay. The response.
Like, yes, that's this the
is,
response.
This is instead of a burger, it's a chalupa.
Yeah. Wait, I'm trying to picture a chalupa.
So it's
it's like a
bread.
Oh yeah, I like chalupas. Yeah, it's like the thicker bread. Yeah,
kind of like baked, and then the chicken in the middle.
But is it shredded?
No, it's. I think. I don't know, like honestly. It might be a big piece of chicken.
That's weird. Okay, well, I'm at least glad to know that they're somewhat staying in their lane.
Right, because
and not
if they
like
were to release
a sandwich,
their
that's crazy.
Chicken sandwich, and that would be considered like the first like sandwich, I think. I don't think they have any sandwiches there.
Yeah.
That would have been nuts.
That would have been so crazy. So at least it's a chalupa.
Yeah.
That's still weird, though.
Right,
but it is kind
of
funny.
But here we are. Like, we are in the middle of
here we are. What a time to
sandwich.
Be alive.
Here we are, right? In the middle of a chicken sandwich war. Not a battle. There's just the war. And so I think that I big respect to Chick-fil-A. I think I have to give it to them. They have not like altered with their ingredients whatsoever. They kept it the same.
Yeah.
Regardless of like who jumps into this like, you know, bandwagon chicken sandwich thing.
Did you say bandwagon?
Bandwagon. Here's where you come in because you have tried the
okay. Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
So I really like Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
Which have I ever told you the story of the first time I had Chick-fil-A?
There's a story.
It's not much of a story, but I remember it significantly, and there's a reason for that. But anyway, I'll get to that in a second.
One day you didn't have the chicken sandwich from Chick-fil-A, then the next day you did.
Well,
is that the story?
No, there's more to it than that. Okay. But anyway, I like Chick-fil-A a lot.
Okay.
I haven't had the Popeyes one.
Okay.
I'm not a huge fan of KFC, but if I am going to go to KFC, I am going to get a chicken sandwich.
Yeah.
Not just like a drumstick or something.
Yeah.
So I tried the McDonald's one.
You did, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm a little embarrassed to say that it was really good.
Wow.
Yeah, the bun was very nice.
Mm-hmm.
It was like fluffy. It had like a line down the middle of the bun.
Yeah.
The chicken was really good.
Really?
Yeah, and I would have to taste them side by side, but it tasted a lot like Chick-fil-A, to be honest. I think there was mayo on it, though. Am I wrong in saying that?
Oh.
I think there was.
I think Carl's Jr. had mayo, but I don't think McDonald's did.
I don't know. I think you're right. I think McDonald's had nothing and Carl's Jr.
had it.
Had the mayo. So then just the other day, I tried the Carl's Jr. one. And for the record, I like Carl's Jr.'s hand-breaded chicken tenders. They're pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's basically that on a bun.
Really?
But I mean, it's a bigger piece of chicken than the chicken tenders.
Yeah.
But it was not as good. It wasn't as good as McDonald's, and it definitely wasn't as good as Chick-fil-A.
Mm. Well, I took a bite of the Carl's Jr. Sandwich, and I'm not a big fan of having the pickles at the bottom because I tasted just the pickles.
It was too pickle forward.
It was, the first thing that my tongue touched was the pickles.
Really? Before the bun?
Before anything.
Before the bun?
Maybe.
Wow, that's talent. The thing is that, so I do like I said, I do like the hand-breaded chicken tenders, but the thing is, something about the way that they make their, like, breaded chicken, it tastes like one of the ingredients in the breading is, like, chemicals. And I'm not joking. Like, there's a weird, slightly weird, like, chemical taste to their breaded chicken.
Whose again?
Carl's Jr.
Oh, okay. Wow.
So it definitely doesn't taste as good and, like, fresh as Chick-fil-A or, surprisingly, as McDonald's.
That's concerning.
It is.
Okay, here's what I propose.
Okay, and then I think we should be done talking about this.
Yes. Yes, I'm not going to turn this critter talk into a whole...
How is this a critter talk? Because of chickens?
Okay, yes.
You're just abusing this, like, I'm not critter talks now.
No. It's not abusing. It's not abusive. Is a chicken a critter? Yes or no?
Well...
No. Don't give me, like, oh, the type of chicken. Is a chicken...
No, I wasn't going to say the type of chicken. I was going to say that even last week with, you know, talking about, like, dogs and stuff, like, that's not real... Those are not really critters. I mean, it depends on your definition of a critter, I guess.
Yes. We should look it up.
Okay. Not right now.
Okay. So, yes, I think that a chicken is a critter. That's what we're talking about this
okay, right fine.
Now. Anyway, what's my point? I forgot.
I don't know. You said, here's what I propose.
Oh, yes. Here's what I propose. Sometime soon, we should go to Chick-fil-A, Popeyes, KFC, McDonald's, and Carl's Jr.
And Taco Bell.
Yes, and Taco Bell. And try the chicken sandwiches and the chalupa. And then rate them.
Interesting. Okay. I mean, we're not Rhett and Link.
No, we're a Savannah and Audie, and we're the Politas. And we were talking about...
Right, but how is that, like, simplifying our life, growing and loving our family? I guess it's learning about the world.
It's learning about the chicken sandwich world.
Okay.
Okay.
I'll consider it. Maybe we should do that on Instagram.
Sure. I didn't say on the podcast. I just said we should do it, and then we could maybe on the podcast talk about it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm okay with that. And that's a big commitment, because Chick-fil-A is, like, an hour away from us.
Yeah.
And so that one's going to be cold.
Yeah.
But anyway. Okay.
It doesn't have to be here. It could be in Colorado. It could be in California next time we travel.
True.
Yeah.
That's true. Okay.
Yeah. We're going to Colorado next month.
We are.
California
next month. I'm excited.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. So let's get down to the nitty gritty.
So I do have a question for today, but I wanted to do it in the main part of the episode because it's about our topic.
Okay.
Melody, who we're friends with on Instagram... And in real life.
Shout out.
She asked us a question about foster care, which is, did you have an option to adopt any of the children you fostered? How does that work?
Mm.
Which is an excellent question.
Yeah.
And I think that that can be confusing for people. Like, I didn't know about how all that worked before we started fostering.
Yeah. First off, yeah, thank you, Melody, for that question. That's a good question. I love it. I think the foster care, yeah, the whole world system of foster care, it was so many unknowns.
Yeah.
And so many questions we had, so many concerns. And at the beginning, we thought that adoption is the one of the only ways to, like, foster a child, and that's not yours, and then it becomes yours legally.
Yeah.
You know, and then, but then we heard about foster care, and then, like, there's ways that foster child could become adopted,
mm-hmm.
you know? And there's also the option that the foster child will go back to their bio parents.
Yeah. So basically, to answer the question of, like, how does that work? And then I'll answer the specific question about us. So the term that's used, at least in Oregon and maybe in the United States generally, the term is, like, legally free for adoption. So what that means is that a child's biological parents have had their parental rights terminated,
mm-hmm.
and so the plan is for them to be adopted.
Yeah.
And then, you know, if a child doesn't get adopted, then that's typically when you hear about children, like, aging out of the foster care system.
Yeah.
Or, like, becoming emancipated or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, so that's kind of the simple answer is that a child, first of all, has to be legally free for adoption. If they are, then the agency, like DHS, is going to start looking for potential adoptive placements.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of times that will be a foster parent, especially if they've been in foster care for a while already.
Yeah.
You know, and if their foster parent is open to the idea of adoption, then that can be an option. They also will always, like, they legally have to look for relatives
first.
First. And they look for relatives first when placing a child in foster care at all.
Yeah.
And try to keep them with a relative caregiver if possible.
Yeah.
And there are actually some rights for foster parents in this process, which is, I think, really good, especially for really young children who enter foster care. So basically, if, at least in Oregon, and I think in other places, if a foster child has been with you for, I want to say it's 2 years or half of the child's life. So like if the child's one and you've had them for 6 months, you know, or if you've had them for 2 years, then foster parents have the same legal right to adoption as a relative.
Yeah.
So basically, that might sound confusing, but let's say that a child has been in foster care for 2 years, 2.5 years or something, and they've been with one foster family for two of those years.
Yeah.
And then at that point, so they've been in foster care for 2 or 3 years, whatever. Mm-hmm. At that point, now they become legally free for adoption.
Yeah.
And then the search kind of starts for any relatives out there that might be, you know, like across the country or something.
Yeah.
And then they, you know, they find somebody and they say, like, yes, we would like to be considered as an adoptive placement for this child. Well, now that they've been living with this foster family for 2 years, they're now considered by the court system as the same as if they were related to them.
Yeah.
And so I think that that's really good. As a protection for foster children, because while it's important to do the very best to keep children with their biological families, and, you know, in some cases when a child, especially a very young child, has been with a family for so long, it might be in their best interest to stay with that family rather than go to a relative that they've never met or something along those lines. So that was kind of a lot of information, but that's how it works. And then, and so then you have to go through the whole process of finalizing the adoption and all of that. And, and I'm not super familiar with that process because we've never done it.
Yeah.
It's also possible to kind of like apply to be an adoptive placement for a child who is legally free in the foster care system without having fostered them before. So like you might hear of a foster child who needs an adoptive placement and just kind of throw your hat in the ring as, you know, a potential placement if they're, you know, adoptive placement if they're needing one. Does that make sense? I feel like I explained that in a really weird way.
No, that's good.
Okay. And the other part of the question was, have we had the opportunity to adopt any of the children that have been in our home?
Yeah. And the answer is no. The two placements that we had in the past, they went, they transitioned out of our house and went to the place that they had to go, you know? And so that was great for them. And then for this current placement, that's also, they're going to be transitioned out of the house. And so there's that. So we haven't had the opportunity to adopt the kiddos. And usually, the certifier might say, like, hey, we have this, you know, kiddo and stuff that is looking for a foster family. And the plan is for them to go back to their bio parents, or the plan is for them to be adopted. And so they usually tell you what their status. And so you kind of know ahead of time when you get that call. But yeah, hopefully, God willing, we would get the opportunity to adopt, and, you know, works out and everything.
Yeah, I think that, especially going into fostering, that our heart really was to adopt. And we, you know, kind of have that mindset of like, oh, we really want to have kids that are going to be in our family forever. And I think the more that we sort of stepped into the world of foster care, we saw what a big need there is for kids to just have a safe place to be until they can go back home.
Yeah.
So it definitely took, I think, a big change of heart and mindset to really kind of get on board with that, and realizing that that is a big part of what foster care is being for the biological families and being excited for the kids to be able to mm-hmm. go back home and seeing the value of them being able to be with their biological families.
Yeah. That's actually like the big goal for foster care for that
whenever system. Possible.
If it's safe, they would like the kiddos to go back to their bio families.
And, yeah.
You know, there's like research and I guess like stats of like that is that worked well, great for the kiddos in the long run.
Mm-hmm.
Our kiddos have said this in the past, like we want to go home and yeah. stuff. And so, you know, if it's safe and everything and if all the benchmarks, you know, are met, mm-hmm. Then that's great. You know, like we are aware of like our heart and that is like we want kiddos in our life.
Yeah.
And but then when it comes to foster care, if we're able to be there for a short time or a long time, that limited amount of time, like that's fine. We know that we're hopeful that we're making a positive impact on in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's been fun so far. And as we're closing our like third and last placement here in Oregon,
mm-hmm.
You know, we're trying to still like be for the kids, regardless of what plan is being placed.
Yeah.
And then, yeah. And hopefully we finish strong and then move to California and try to do that again.
Yeah. Start the process all over
again. Yeah. And then with California, it's a lot different, which DHS is statewide.
It's just more centralized, I think. And things are, I think, more the same across the whole state of Oregon, the way that DHS runs.
Yeah.
But yeah.
In California, it's different. It's all by county.
Yeah.
That's what we've heard. And I'm not sure what that looks like.
Yeah.
We'll just see what happens then. There.
And we actually have friends in California who are foster parents who live in the county that we very well may end up in.
Yeah.
Moving to. And so that's really cool to have like a resource. But yeah, that was a really good question. And I think that part of it can be sometimes confusing because foster parents often can't and don't want to give a lot of details about mm-hmm. you know, the specifics of their kids and what's going on with their cases. But then I think it can be confusing from the outside of like, oh, like what happened? Like, did you not want to adopt them?
Yeah.
Did you just want it to be short term?
Yeah.
Or is that not an option? Or how does that work? So
yeah.
I'm glad that you asked that question, Melody. Okay, so now let's talk about the five most common phrases we hear as foster parents, and then I have one bonus one at the end.
Okay.
So these are phrases that we hear from different places. So it might be uh-huh. from our kids, from DHS, from other people. So we'll kind of explain as we go. Okay, so the first one is, when do I get to go home?
Mm-hmm.
And so this goes right along with what we were just talking about with, you know, reunification, children going back to their bio parents. So
yeah.
This is something also that I would say I was not prepared for.
Uh-huh.
I just didn't think about this when we went into fostering.
Yeah.
That is something that we've heard a lot from our children.
Kiddos. Yeah.
It is hard and it's heartbreaking
yeah.
to hear that question, you know, over and over again.
Yeah.
And one of the hardest things about it is that we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And even if we know a little bit,
yeah,
it's so hard to try to like protect them and not get their hopes up
yeah.
for something that could change or could not happen.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, we always kind of try to say the plan is,
yeah,
the plan is for this to happen. The plan is for this to happen today. And sometimes we, especially with the three kids we had at the beginning, we said, you know, sometimes plan changes, mm-hmm. you know, and, mm-hmm. Because whatever reason. And so we started saying the plan is for this to happen today.
Yeah.
And because we were here, you know, sometimes experienced that it wouldn't happen. Mm-hmm. The whatever thing that they were excited for, it didn't happen. So
yeah,
especially towards the end, we said, you know, the plan is for this to happen, for you guys to go, you know, but we never really said like, here's the date, unless like it was solid. It was like, you know, that week of
yeah.
or whatever, or like 3 days before or four
yeah.
days. And it depends because you have to be aware of like who you're talking to and like what, you know, their mental, like just state and like,
yeah, their age,
their everything. Age and everything. And so some kids might really fully like get it. Some kids won't. Mm-hmm. So you have to really gauge that and see like when is the best time to say that?
Yeah.
Or, and then also, are you the, as a foster parent, are you the one to say it?
Right.
Cause also the caseworker also could be the one that should say it or whatever.
Yeah.
So yeah, so that phrase, I want to go home. When do I get to go home?
Yeah.
I've heard that a lot.
Yeah, and one of the only things that we can kind of say, which is truthful, but it's also just hard, is just telling them that, like, you know, it's up to the judge.
And
at the end of the day, it is up to the judge. And they,
yeah,
most of the kids that have come into our home have known that. Like, they've been aware that that's how it works. And
yeah.
That is a truthful answer, but it really sucks, like, to have to tell a child that, because they don't know this judge. Like, they don't know.
Yeah.
They've never been in a court hearing. Like, maybe they've seen one on TV. And yeah. So that just sounds so, I think, cold and like, distant or something, to just say like, oh, well, it just depends on what the judge says. I mean, I just feel like, even though it's true, it's such a hard thing to tell a child, because like, what does that mean, you know?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And it is hard to say like, well, it's kind of like, I think the kids might interpret it as, I'm just kind of now like, you know, imagining like the kids might interpret it as like, well, like, blame the judge for this.
Yeah.
You know, blame the judge right. That it's taking forever, or that it's been delayed.
Yeah.
You know?
And I think it's hard because we don't want them to, like, our biggest concern is that we don't want them to think that any of it is their fault.
Yeah.
Like, oh, this is taking longer because of something that I did. Mm-hmm. And we've seen that. Like, we've seen those concerns. Mm-hmm. And we also don't want them to be thinking badly of their parents. Like, right. Even if there is an issue going on with their parents, we don't want them to be thinking badly of them either.
Yeah. So it's hard to be, or like, fighting that. Like, how do we honor their parents?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's really a hard thing to navigate. And
yeah.
Even along those similar lines, like, we also had a child come into our home and on the first day say, I'll probably be here forever. And like, that, I mean, that's a very hard thing to hear too. And you know, like, it's just hard no matter how you look at it and no matter what happens.
Yeah.
So it's, yeah, that was just something that I was not expecting or prepared for, and I think I am more prepared for it now.
Yeah,
but it never gets easier every time you hear a child ask you that, like, when do I get to go home, and not being able to tell them.
Along with like comments like this or questions like these, like, sometimes we say like, well, that's a question for like your caseworker.
Yeah,
you know. And yeah, because like sometimes like there's certain like things that we can't really tell the kids. You know?
Yeah, yeah, so it's just not our place.
Protect them, and yeah, so we usually refer to the caseworker saying, hey, like, our kiddo asked this, so here you go.
Yeah, or sometimes we would just call the caseworker and be like, hey, he wants to talk to you.
Yeah, yeah, so.
Mm-hmm. And I actually was there while the caseworker, like, FaceTimed the kids and told them that they got to go home. And that was both, like, it's so many emotions. Like, it was exciting.
Yeah.
Because they were so excited. And so I was happy for them.
Yeah.
But there's also that sadness. There's also that fear of like hoping that it's going to be good and all that. But it was, it was a very surreal moment. But, you know, we just did our best to like be happy for them.
Yeah.
So, okay. That was long, but that was the first one. Okay. So the next one is, thank you for your concern. Insert silence here.
Yeah.
So basically, what we mean by that is, this is something that we hear from caseworkers, supervisors, lawyers.
Yeah.
Like, the system, basically.
Yeah.
Anytime we raise a concern of something that's going on with the child, or a concern that we have about transitioning them back home or whatever, I mean, that's always the response is, like, thank you for your concern, period, end of conversation.
Yeah.
No follow-up, no reassurance about how the concerns being addressed, or if it is, it's like extremely vague of like, oh yes, we've already considered this. And that's really hard.
Yeah. It's just hard that like, it just, our concerns just, I guess, start and end with an email. Like, it doesn't go anywhere besides them responding with thank you for your concern.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. Most often they say like, that's it. Like, whatever, you know?
Yeah.
It sucks that leading up to the kids going back home, we have like, we end up with like several safety concerns
mm-hmm.
that we felt like they were not like addressed.
Yeah.
It is frustrating that like we're the parents, we're the adults that in the kids' lives that are pretty much with them almost 24/7. And so we know their behavior after the visits, after certain things that the kids are scheduled to do. And then the caseworker, that's like the person that has a big say, pretty much the say
yeah.
of whether to go home or not. And so when they're not communicating with us and following up with our concerns, that's just a bummer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Big time. Okay. The next one that kind of goes along with that is, so the new schedule is ..
And that this is again coming from the caseworker.
Oh, I guess actually not just the caseworker. That's what I was thinking, but this also comes from like counselors and
yeah,
you know, just different like appointments and things that mm-hmm. the kids have. But that's a lot true. Of times it is coming from the caseworker.
Yeah. And yeah, they usually say like, you know, the new plan is whatever. And without kind of like touching bases with us or something, or also like it's, we experienced at times when they say it in a group setting and mm-hmm. when it should have been addressed to us like yeah. privately.
Yeah.
And so that's very frustrating and very makes us really mad.
Yeah.
That, you know, that there's not that like they're not talking to us first.
Yeah.
And so we kind of find out, you know, with along with all the people.
Right. And yeah, that's frustrating. And
yeah,
I think especially with our current placement, I can't even tell you how many times the schedule has changed between school and visits and counseling and all these different things. Yeah. Like it's been so crazy. I mean, every time I have to schedule like a doctor's appointment for myself or a doctor's appointment for our kids, or like I was trying to schedule an appointment with a lawyer and it was like, I was literally just staring at the calendar, just like, like for so long, just trying to figure out when it would work. Cause it's been,
yeah,
it's been so crazy. And one person, I literally had to cancel an appointment with them like three different times because I was like, well, the schedule changed since last time we talked. And yeah. So now we're gonna have to reschedule. And then it changed again. And then it changed again.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's just, it's crazy.
Yeah, with that, I guess, I think that would be, it's nice if you're a foster parent or you're going to be a foster parent for you to maybe buy like a big calendar if you don't have one
yeah.
and put it somewhere where it's like, you know, the kids could see that.
Yes.
And also it's so helpful for us to write down like the appointments and all that stuff mm-hmm. and have a marker to, you know, say, okay, we're done with this and everything. And for the kids to also know like, okay, like my visit or this is going to happen on this day. We're yeah. like a few days away, you know, so we have that.
Yeah. And I know it's
and make sure it's a dry erase marker because, plans change.
Things change. And for kids that like can't read, it's nice to use like different colors and
yeah.
you know, you just know that like, especially also I think with COVID, you know, like the school schedule is so weird because they're not yeah. in school every single day. Sometimes yeah. it's school from home or whatever. So it's yeah. just, it's crazy, but I think that's helpful for our brain and for the kids' brain to just see it out there physically. Yeah. So yeah, that's been good. Okay. And then the last one that's from DHS or from the caseworkers is, that's pretty common.
Oh, yes.
And this one is a big soapbox of mine, as if all the other things haven't been a soapbox. It's frustrating, very frustrating, and just saddening when children have gone through very difficult things and a lot of trauma and are displaying like behaviors and things that are concerning in, yeah. you know, in response to the hard things they've gone through. And then, you know, we're expressing those concerns of like, okay, this is what we're seeing at home mm-hmm. and to have the response be like, oh, that's very common in this situation.
Yeah.
And it's hard, you know, and sometimes I used the phrase, it's very common, and that's kind of being generous because the one that really gets under my skin is saying it's yeah. normal.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the things are not normal and they shouldn't be just accepted as like, oh, this is okay
yeah.
for kids to be having all of these like stress responses and trauma responses to things.
Yeah.
And so even if it is common for children who have experienced trauma, I just think it's really important to not use that as an excuse to not address what's going on with them.
Yeah.
So I understand, you know, like this isn't our first, this isn't our first rodeo anymore. Like we do understand that we're, some things are to be expected.
Yeah.
That are really difficult or that are concerning, but that doesn't mean that they should just be brushed under the rug and be like, oh yeah, like that's foster care. That's, you know, that's just normal.
Right. Yeah.
You know, like the kids deserve to have like a good life. Like one of our kids used to always say, like, I just want to have a good life.
Yeah.
And they do deserve that. And so we shouldn't just be like, oh, well, that's just normal for kids in foster care.
Right. You know? Yeah. And so that just kind of, I don't think it's, I think in a way it's like inhumane, uh-huh. You know, because it's not seeing them as like a human being. It's yeah. more like, well, like research stats show that like this is common. Mm-hmm. This is normal.
Yeah.
So it's fine. And they're just kind of brushing this out, you know, and sweeping under the rug.
Right.
It's a bummer that mm-hmm. These kids go through all this stuff, all this trauma and all this, just so many emotions.
Yeah.
You know, it's so hard. So it just seems like it's kind of slapped to the face, you know, like for them to respond that way when we say, here's all the behavior and the problems that are being caused because of this visit or because of this, you know, that happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like, even if it is to be expected and even if it is that there's not much that we can do about it, still like listen to us, you know, and still just listen and try to understand and try to provide us with resources to like help us, because it also is not easy. Mm-hmm. You know, it's definitely a lot harder for the kids than it is for us, but sometimes it's not easy for us either, you know, during those, especially during those like transitional times, you know?
Yeah.
Okay, and then the last one before the bonus one, and this is something that we've talked about on the podcast before, but I thought it was an important one to include here, is you guys are amazing. And this is something that we often hear from other people, like people who are not involved in like the foster care world.
Yeah. Yeah. Instead, we want people to say you guys are the worst. No, that's not what we're saying. Like, I think that everybody means well.
Yeah, totally.
You know, maybe 9 times out of 10, people do mean well. Mm-hmm. And I believe that. And that's, I get that they want, they're using these words to encourage us and to say, you guys are awesome, keep it up. But I think that it delivers this message, this big picture message, that it takes a specific person to do this type of like job and this type of parenting. Mm-hmm. And that's not true. That's not the case. The big picture is that it takes an average Joe to do this, you know, and it could be anybody.
Yeah.
You don't have to have a specific set of skills or whatever. You know, if you want to parent, if you have that interest and stuff, like then you're suited, you're capable to mm-hmm. do that.
Yeah.
And that's it. There's no bonus things and stuff. You know, so it's just it's very just a little frustrating, because that's the big picture, and we hear that so many times, like, you guys are heroes. Mm-hmm. I can't do that.
I can never do that,
because then I would get attached.
Yeah.
And so that also delivers the message that are you saying that I am not attached to my kid?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Like, let's break that down for a second, because I really truly think that people don't mean to be insulting when they say that.
Yeah.
But just like stop and hear me out and like think about it for a second, because if you're saying I could never do foster care because I would get too attached mm-hmm. to the kids, mm-hmm. that really is implying that we as foster parents don't get attached to our kids and that we're able to stay detached from them mm-hmm. or else we wouldn't have done it.
Yeah.
And that is very, you know, hurtful.
Yeah.
But I think it's also offensive toward our children as well, because it's sort of delivering the message that you don't think they're worth us getting attached and like having our hearts broken and going through that grieving process when they leave, you know, of saying mm-hmm. like, oh, I could never do that because of this.
Yeah.
You know, it's sort of, it's saying like, okay, well, so you don't think that
Yeah.
It was worth it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And for the people who are listening in the process, so you have said that to us or to other foster parents.
Yeah.
We don't want to like shame.
No, no, no.
These people. And if we didn't say this in the previous podcast episodes that I'm saying it now, you know, that the times that we have said this and like called this out, we're not like shaming you.
Right.
I really truly believe that like, maybe 9.9 out of 10 people like do mean well. And,
totally.
And I believe that. But I think that because you hear this, that phrase a lot, then you're like, okay, well, that makes sense. That's fine. That's a good thing. That's a positive feedback to give to these parents.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say it, you know? And so we're not like blaming that, you know,
no.
Like it is expected. Like we, you know, I say a lot of things and stuff like, or I learned to say new things like happens to Betsy, you know, like
throwback.
Yeah. You know, and because I've heard it and stuff.
No, well, you haven't.
I mean, I messed it up.
You misheard it.
I misheard it, but I thought that happens to Betsy. That was a common phrase. So I started saying that, but,
yeah.
But anyway, so phrases like heavens to Betsy.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Like people say that and what, you know, just out of whatever, you know.
Okay, you've gotten a little off track here.
I know.
Okay, yes, I agree with you. And along with that, I think the point of us saying this is that words really do matter.
Yeah.
And the words that we're using and the words that we're hearing unconsciously or consciously are shaping the way that we think about things.
Yeah.
And so I think if we're constantly hearing, and I don't mean like just us, but mm-hmm. you know, if people are constantly hearing that foster heroes are that's all I would say. The foster parents are heroes and amazing
yeah.
and it takes a special type of person, then that's going to perpetuate this idea that like, oh, I can't foster.
Yeah.
And we need foster parents.
Yes.
So that's a big part of it too, is we don't want to keep perpetuating this idea like, that
I
like
can never.
That people can, you know, oh, I can never do that.
Yeah.
Because it's not true. Like a lot of people who are listening to us right now, like you can foster.
Yeah, like I think you're little by little is causing this, like creating this long-term effect that like you are starting to distance yourself
yeah.
from this type of parenting,
uh-huh.
you know, because of this saying
yeah,
and other sayings like this, you know.
Yeah, and this doesn't yeah. just happen with foster parents. Like my mom is a parent of children with special needs, and she hears that phrase all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, it takes a special kind of person to raise a child with special needs, or
yeah.
Even I could never do that, which that's also very strange for my mom to hear because she didn't. It wasn't a choice that she made.
Right.
Like for us, it was a choice to become foster
yeah.
parents. It wasn't a choice for her. And so it's kind of like, well, what would you have done?
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And so it's not, yeah, it's not just us. It's not just foster parents, but you know, just, I think it's important to just think about the things we're saying and because it does affect the way we think about things.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So that was the five most common phrases we hear as foster parents. And now the bonus one is one phrase that we always say as foster parents.
Uh-huh.
The phrase that we always say is our kids.
Oh, yeah.
And I want to explain and unpack that a little bit. If you've been listening to us, you've probably heard many times us say like, oh, our kids did this or our child or our daughter, yeah. our kiddo, whatever.
Yeah.
And that's not on accident. Like that's a very intentional choice that, you know, that we make
yeah.
in saying that and referring to our kids that way. And I don't think this is unique to us. I think a lot of foster parents do refer to their kids as their kids.
Yeah.
But I just want to explain kind of why we think that's really important. First of all, it's kind of just obvious, but I think that a child deserves and needs to be in a home where there are adults who are being parents to them.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's for a weekend or a month or a year or
yeah.
forever,
yeah,
they need parents with them. And mm-hmm. that's not to say that they don't have biological parents who are still in their life, because they might.
Yeah.
And the purpose of us saying our kids is not in any way to be possessive
mm-hmm.
and to say that they're our kids, they're not their bio parents' kids anymore.
Yeah.
Because we really believe in you know, the beauty of reunification and the importance of biofamily.
Yeah.
And trying to prioritize returning to biofamily whenever it's safe and all of that. But we also believe that children should be living in a home where they are seen as belonging there and as belonging to that family.
Yeah. Yeah. And we actually talked about this during the interview with Rain about the type of home that we have and that we started to create when we were married and we moved here by ourselves. And that is like that we want to make sure whoever comes in through the front door or the back door, that they feel accepted and that they belong here, regardless of what background they have, the history they have, whether it's foster, adopted, bio kid, whatever, you know, type of kid, like that they are here to belong.
Yeah.
And so sometimes we have to learn like new things about like us and the way we talk and the way that we should behave around the kids and like, you know, if there's different cultural upbringings and stuff, we also want to learn, you know, their history and everything. And so it's definitely like when we meet our kids, like we do really do want to treat the foster kiddos as our like own kids because they are our kids.
Right. And one of the phrases I didn't put on the list of common things we hear is, but we do hear a lot is, do you / are you going to have kids of your own?
Yeah.
And
I, yeah, and I've heard this, you know, from people like
I have too,
not like that similar, that question, but like, oh yeah, your own kids, referring to bio kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just another little like friendly reminder of like not, you shouldn't ask foster parents that or adoptive parents.
Yeah.
Because they are our kids.
Yeah.
And we get what people mean.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like I understand that it's not always meant to be offensive or something, right. But like that, I think that we just need to be so careful with that. Like that's not, it's not okay to treat a child who's in your home as not your own.
Right. Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So I just wanted to briefly talk about that phrase, our kids, and kind of how that's just a very intentional, purposeful phrase that we use.
Yeah. And as we kind of look at this month as the Foster Care Awareness Month, we want to just continue to spread the awareness and the and give as much as information we can about foster care as foster care parents, and to continue this like awareness, continue this like knowledge of these kids beyond just May, June, and so forth, and you know, and so foster care is obviously a big kind of like staple pillar of this podcast, and because it has to do with family, you know, and we have so far have been a good experience foster care, you know, kids in our house and stuff, and so we're excited to hopefully, God willing, to like have bio kids and foster kids at the same time, and you know, adopted kids and everything, and so we want to keep challenging ourselves and like learning and growing and learning about these kids and us, and like try to cultivate this like belonging culture in our house, you know, and so yeah, I think that I'm excited for other like episodes about like foster care, and hopefully I would love to have someone like Rain on the podcast and to interview her and talk about like, you know, her thoughts, experiences, stuff, and the things that she shared. I recommend checking her out again. Rain or Shine Project. It's pretty cool to see that, you know, someone that is vulnerable and just honest and about her past and everything. So yeah, I think I'm excited for the future.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, thank you guys so much for listening to this episode. We hope that you enjoyed it and maybe learned something. Definitely share it with somebody you know who might be interested in foster care or just want to learn more about it. I want to say a huge thank you to those of you who have given us 5 stars.
Go ahead.
We're actually recording this before last week's episode has come out. So I'm just really saying this like on faith, like in good faith and hope that like so many of you have given us 5 stars to help me get my puppy for my birthday.
Yeah. So if you missed last week's episode, we said we agreed, we shook on it that if we get 20 reviews by her birthday, mm-hmm. by Savannah's birthday, that we would get a puppy for her for yeah. her birthday,
which is July 7th.
Yes.
So as you're listening to this, we still have like over a month, like about 5 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably like exactly 5 weeks for you to tell your friends, tell your family, tell your coworkers, tell your enemies, your acquaintances to help me get my birthday puppy by just giving this podcast 5 stars. You don't even have to write a written review, although we would love one. All you have to do is just scroll on down, hit the 5 stars, and if it says, you know, 20 five-star reviews by July 7th, then we will be welcoming a new little puppy to our family.
Yeah. And we talked about having a rescue puppy.
Yeah. So we're hopefully going to be like rescuing one.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I'm just, I don't really know if we got more reviews, but I'm just really saying this like in faith, you know, for this coming Monday. It's actually, as we're recording this, that episode will go live in 2 days.
Yeah.
And so I'm just really like putting that out there that I really believe that, you know, on that first day that we're going to get a few reviews, and then I'm going to be sharing this on Instagram, on Facebook, everywhere. So hopefully, you know, I'm hoping that we'll exceed it.
Yes.
That we'll exceed those 20.
Yes.
And have even more. And
yeah.
Then we'll also maybe get a kitten as well.
What? No, 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 no. So yeah, 5-star review on Apple Podcast mm-hmm. app. And as Theodore Roosevelt says, do what you can with what you have, where you are.
See you next time.
And as Theodore Roosevelt
Theodore?
And as Theodore Roosevelt says.
Why do you say it like that?
Theodore? Theodore?
Yeah, there you go.
And as Theodore says. Okay.